Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the best Ravens coverage.
What time is that?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
News from the Nest here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato earlier in the show started breaking down the Ravens film offensively against Kansas City. Let's revisit. Pick up where we left off, Vinny.
Yeah, we're at the right tackle spot with Patrick McCary. McCary's kind of like Steady Eddie. And he's not the biggest guy in the world, and he's going to have some... Chris Jones is going to give anybody problems, and Chris gave him a little problems here and there, but overall did a fairly decent job there. I mean, the biggest concerns they got in the offensive line is these young guys got to develop, and especially the right side, they've got to knock people off the ball. They've got to create more in the run game, more creases in the run game. Right now, it's almost like Henry, BYOB. You got to be your own blocker. And with Rosengarten, and it's kind of come out now. I mean, McCary's the starter, Rosengarten's development. And, you know, I mean, the first play you come in, you kind of get shell-shocked. Your first play, you got to go up against Chris Jones, and you give up sack fumble. So he just struggles with power right now. But he's got athletic ability and stuff. He'll be fine in time, but he really needs a year to get in the weight room and get stronger. Now the tight ends, I was disappointed in Mark Andrews. I didn't think he blocked very well. I didn't, you know, like the play on the third down when he catches it and falls down. I'm like, come on, you're smarter than that. He wasn't really involved in the pass game much. And, you know, and his blocking was pitiful. Inside, his blocking was terrible. It was, you know, it didn't look like he had a ton of effort there blocking. So
he had the car accident, yeah. But he said he's fine.
And he missed 10 days.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He just wasn't his one of his better games, whereas Likely was spectacular. And the thing with Likely is, whatever you want to say, Likely is not an inline blocker, period. He never will be, and I don't think he wants to be. And I showed Bob a clip of film. He's lined up inside one time, and a linebacker just threw him into Henry, and he tackled Henry. Now, on the outside, he can stalk block. He's got some punch on DBs and stuff down the field. He does that fine. Now, the thing that he does do, though, his yak ability is spectacular. His run instincts are really good. And that's what they did. And I expect, you know, more quick screens and more stuff to utilize. And study Kansas City, how they do it with all their tight ends, how they get them the ball. Last year in that championship game, they went 7 quick screens in the first half. But they'll figure ways to get Likely the ball, just because he doesn't ever just catch it and go down. He's like the tippy toes stop. He's got some natural feel, yep, running the football. Now, running back Derrick Henry, I don't think he had when he had chances to run, and he had some creases, did a good job. A lot of times, he was getting hit in the backfield. And they just got to figure out what he's doing, when he's doing it. And what they got to do is they got to get him a couple more passes and stuff. So when he's not in there, it's just, you know, hand it to him or run it. Or Lamar's faking him and Lamar's keeping. That's a big thing. With Justice Hill, Justice played a hell of a game. I mean, he can pass block, catches the ball extremely well out of the backfield, competes his ass off, and he runs hard. You know, he had one rush, but he have 5 catches, something like that. I mean, he's a huge contributor. He had 47 snaps, I think. Now, Lamar, I thought we'll talk about that last series.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I thought Lamar played a hell of a game. You know, he's in charge of that offense now. He's changing stuff. Taking a bit, and it looked like, you know, Lamar's like, get on my back. I got to take us. You know, I plant that back foot, boom. I see a crease, I'm gone. On the run pass option stuff, boom, I'm keeping it. He had 16 carries. Is he going to do that every week? No. All right, let's go to the last three plays of the game, because otherwise he makes plays all the way down to the field. Bateman, Greg Kent, takes him down to the field. Three plays left. And right now, this is the difference between he and Patrick Mahomes. Third play from the end of the game. Likely in the corner of the end zone. I mean, it's an easy throw, gimme touchdown. He throws it out of the end zone. And Bob, you saw, I mean, it was wide open to Likely in the corner. Likely did a nice job getting open. And Lamar just lay it. Just lead him out there, and he throws it.
Well, he waited. He was open well before that, too.
And throws it way out of the end zone. Then on the second to last play, Bateman's going across, and he kind of stops. And Flowers is in the back of the end zone all by himself, waving. Hey, hey, hey. And that's 0 for 2 right there with two wide open receivers in the end zone to eventually they were going for two.
But Lamar said that the pass was intended for Bateman, but...
Yeah, well, Bateman's coming from the right side, and he's running an across route, and actually, there was three guys on him. There was two linebackers and a safety, I think, and he said, he thought Bateman was going to go up the field, because Bateman's going across. If he goes up the field, if he takes a right, he's right between the goalposts, and he and Flowers are going to run into each other. So that really didn't make any sense. And it wasn't man coverage, because in those types of coverages, zone coverage, you sit in a hole. Man coverage, you keep running. So Flowers comes across from the left side, and he is so open. He's so open, it was ridiculous. Now, on the last play, on the last two plays, though, they had Justice Hill was trying to block Chris Jones on the last two plays, which is a total mismatch. And you got McCary basically blocking nobody. So they screwed up the call there. And Harp said it was because of crowd noise or whatever. But on that last play, that's when Lamar, he's standing there in the pocket. Then he kind of does a whirling dervish. And Likely is standing in the end zone all by himself. And then Lamar turns, spins, and then comes back in and then sees him and makes an awesome throw, but Likely's out of bounds. And, I mean, that's the difference right now in Lamar. Because if that's a completion, Ravens win, they're talking about him as comeback kid, finally beat Mahomes.
Sure.
It's a totally, totally different deal. Ravens on all these rankings and everything, they're number one. They're going to be number one on everybody's list. So that was the difference. It was three plays. Lamar played great, except for those last three plays. And that's the difference between, we talk about with the Terps, the little things.
Yeah.
And as little and, as great as you played for, let's say it was 70 plays, you played great for 68 plays. The last three, man, the last three, you had a chance to be the real hero.
And as you said, Mahomes hits one of those three throws.
Oh, yeah. Mahomes wins that game.
And if Lamar makes that, if his toe's in bounds, he's probably Offensive Player of the Week in the AFC, by the way, went to Joe Mixon. And as you would assume, Greg Russo, he got Defensive Player of the Week. And when he kicks six field goals, you better be Special Teams Player of the Week. And that was Boswell for Cleveland. Pittsburgh, rather. We'll come back. Buy or sell, count some dough. Then Rich Dubrovko talk about the Orioles, who are only a half game out of first place. Thank you, Kansas City. Now the Orioles have to handle their own business. So we'll talk about Dean Kramer trying to follow up that brilliant performance last week against the Bo Sox. And then we'll get back to the film, talk about the Ravens defense. Communication breakdowns. We'll figure out why.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan. Here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Tons going on in the world of sports. College football heading week three. NFL week two. September pennant races in baseball, etc. Canelo's fighting Saturday. Right now, let's count that dough, though, by the
Well, Bob, here's the headlines. Wall Street falls after inflation data dents bigger rate cut hopes. So the Dow is down 385. S&P's down 29. NASDAQ's up 34. DraftKings is flat at zero. Under Armour is down 13 more cents to 636.
Get things started today in Major League Baseball. Just last year, it appeared that Luis Severino, his career had fallen off a cliff, posting an ERA over 6 in 18 starts with the Yankees. That was a steep decline from his career numbers to that point. As a result, when he hit free agency, there really wasn't a ton of interest for him. However, the Mets did take a chance, giving him a one-year prove-it deal, and he certainly proved it so far. 3.74 ERA, 166 innings pitched. That's the most he's had in a season since 2018 already. He's going to turn 31 this coming offseason, a free agent yet again. Buy or sell, Bob. This time around, Severino will get a multi-year deal.
Multi-year meaning more than one? Yes, I will buy that. And look, I remember him when he was with New York. He seemed to be covered in pine tar all of a sudden. He was always getting popped for having illegal grip substances on his person, but I thought he was toast, and he's been a very prominent part of the Mets making a run at the playoffs. He's not going to get a Corbin Burns deal, but he'll get himself paid for sure.
How about the Commanders? Jaden Daniels made his NFL debut last week, showed some flashes of his strong skill set in the process, ran the ball 16 times, 88 yards. And while many of those were not designed runs, head coach Dan Quinn was quick to remind everyone after the game, shouldn't get used to seeing him carry the ball that much. That is not their game plan for him. And from a run game perspective, you got Brian Robinson, you got Austin Eckler. Those are your guys that are expected to carry a brunt of the load. But Daniel's speed and elusiveness does make him a tough matchup for opposing defenses as well. Buy or sell, Vinny, the Commanders should not be so quick to limit his running.
I'll sell that. Yeah, I mean, have you seen what he looks like? I mean, he's a skinny dude. And they went through that with RG3. I think, and he can throw the football. That's the thing. He can throw it. So I would say don't get carried away with all that running. But if they don't beat the Giants Sunday, talk about empty stadium.
I think Austin Eckler's best days might be behind him, though.
I didn't like him last year. I didn't think he had any bursts left.
Back to baseball. More pitching news here. Kumar Rocker, if you remember that name, he's actually going to make his MLB debut tonight for the Rangers. A strange journey for him to this point. Back in 2021, a highly coveted pitching prospect out of Vanderbilt. The Mets took him 10th overall, but for a medical red flag, that got in the way of them signing him. He went to independent baseball, got injured, Tommy John surgery. The Rangers still took a chance on him in the following draft. And despite throwing just under 65 innings since entering the organization, he's getting the call here at age 24. Buy or sell, Bob, Rocker will be a staple in the Texas rotation by this time next year.
Boy, I'm rooting for him because everything he's overcome to get to this point, you commended. I'll soft buy. They're getting DeGrom and Scherzer back here soon. Too little, too late for the Texas Rangers. But I have my fingers crossed for Kumar Rocker that he'll have a long, prosperous career. His dad was, what, Tracy Rocker, if I'm not mistaken.
I know the fact. I recruited his brother, David, So, yeah, and Tracy was, you know, they both went to Auburn.
Yep.
Got paid.
Yep.
They had NIL money before NIL.
Nobody even knew what that was. Pat Dye.
Now, does he still have his velo?
Kumar Rocker? That I don't know. I guess we'll have to find out tonight.
I'm going
to
assume he's still pumping it up there. He wouldn't be getting a call to the major leagues right now.
Well, back to the NFL here. No McCaffrey was no problem for the 49ers on Monday night. Jordan Mason got the full workload and made the most of it. 147 yards, a pair of touchdowns. His 28 carries in that game, this surprised me, was actually the most of any running back there in San Francisco, the most one has had in one game since Shanahan became the head coach. Now, it remains unclear when McCaffrey will return, but for now, San Francisco looks like they'll be able to survive with Mason. Buy or sell, Vinny, when McCaffrey does come back, the Niners will still be carving out a decent workload for Mason.
I'll buy that. I'll buy that. And you know what that that game did is all of a sudden now it's like with McCaffrey, let's get you 100% healthy. We don't need you for the first four games. We need you for down the stretch in the playoffs. That's when we need you. So let's get totally healthy.
Well, I promised it a little bit earlier. Our giveaway is continuing here and the return of Wise Wednesday. The return of football season means the return of Wise Wednesdays.
Great supermarket. Take my mom there all the time.
Last I checked today.
Great chocolate milk.
Get whatever you want. We're giving away a $25 gift card.
So get lottery tickets at once.
If you want $25 worth of chocolate milk, you can get that if your heart desires it. $25 can be yours if you are caller number 3. You got to be fast on this one. 410-583-1057.
That's Wise Wednesdays. It's back already, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, how about the Orioles? They're not back in first place, but they gained a game because they won at Boston 5-3. Cedric Mullins, two bombs. We'll talk about that with Rich Dubruff from BaltimoreBaseball.com. Dean Kramer trying to win the series for the Orioles tonight before they go off to take on Detroit. He's only 3 games out of that last wild card. And then back to the film study, Ravens defense. They give up 27 points. Why? We'll talk about that later in the show. Here to talk about that and more from BaltimoreBaseball.com. Let's welcome back to the show our friend and yours. He is Rich Dubroff. Rich, good afternoon. How are you feeling today?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Doing awesome. All right, Rich. Appreciate your time as always. Cedric Mullins, lineup was tweaked. You're on the beat every day. You see it. And Brandon Hyde had got experimental quite often. The Orioles have, 118, 120 different lineups so far here, it seems, in 2024. But Mullins, who used to be a mainstay at the top of the lineup, he fell down because of performance-based issues. Now he's back. 2 homers last night. He's been percolating a little bit. What's been different about Cedric Mullins at the plate as he's become much more effective than he was for quite some time?
Right, you are, Bob. As Belinda Carlisle would say, for Cedric Mullins right now, heaven is a place on earth. He said he stopped chasing 2021 when he was the first Orioles 30-30 guy, and he's trying to just be himself. I mean, last year was a really difficult year with him with the injuries, and May was awful. He batted 136 during May, and a lot of people were thinking he was nearing the end of the line. But you know, he's bounced back nicely, and they really need him because you know everybody keeps talking about, oh, the Orioles are so home run happy. Well, Mullins doesn't try and hit home runs, and he's the key diversifier in the offense. You know, he's not going to have a 30-30 year this year, but he could have a 20-30 year. You know what? He's got 17 home runs and I think 27 stolen bases. So he's really key to diversifying that offense. And if he can continue for these next 16 games, then maybe they'll have something to talk about.
Yeah, he's got the beat right now, Rich Dubroff from BaltimoreBaseball.com. Of the guys in the lineup whose power production has dipped as the Yankees have now passed the Orioles as the home run leaders in the majors. O'Hearn, Adley, Moomans, you know, kind of hit the skids with the bombs there. Jackson Holliday. Who, in your opinion, is most likely to start being reminiscent of a thumper that helped the Orioles lead the majors in home runs for most of the season?
Yeah, I would think Ryan O'Hearn. But the problem is, you know, he did so much better when he was platooning with with Ryan Mountcastle. And Mountcastle out now. But I think that O'Hearn's the kind of guy who can really get on a streak. I mean, you mentioned some good names there. Rutschman is really, you know, he's been hitting a little better since the move down to fifth. But, you know, the power just doesn't seem to be there. And then Jackson Holliday is still, you know, is still young. And the problem here is, you know, if Jordan Westberg were here, Jackson Holliday wouldn't be playing every day. And I think his numbers would actually be better if he weren't playing every day. Usually, you know, the old Buck Showalter line, you know, players say, you know, if you played me more, I'd play better. I tell them, if you played better, I'd play you more. But in this case, I think that, you know, maybe Holliday would do a little better if he wasn't, you know, if he hadn't played so often and exposing himself to those tough left-handers, which I think he may not be quite ready for. And Kowser, well, he's never played this long. You know, this is his first full year in the major leagues, and he's never, you know, he's never played a major league season. And I think it wears on lots of players, you know. So I think I think that he could, you know, he could turn around too. But I would bet on O'Hearn.
Now, in regard, you mentioned Jordan Westberg. You have Westberg. You have Mountcastle. Grayson Rodriguez. I mean, the list of injured Orioles is almost endless. Who is closest to getting back in that lineup or in the pitching staff for Brandon Hyde as we sit on September 11th?
Well, Danny Coulombe is going to throw in tonight for Norfolk, I guess, this afternoon. And we had Jacob Webb pitched yesterday, and I think that if everything goes okay, Webb will meet the team in Detroit because, you know, he threw well last night. Now, the position players, that's a hard one because Mountcastle seems to be the most mystifying one. They thought it was, you know, a sprain of the wrist, and or it still is, but it really hasn't gotten any better. They don't know when he's going to be back. Westberg, you know, maybe back for the last week of the regular season. I'm not sure. Ramon Urias, who's also a big absence, is ahead of schedule according to Brandon Hyde. His right ankle. So it's very, very weird. And the same thing with Rodriguez. Rodriguez has yet to throw a live batting practice. He has to do that. Maybe two, I don't know, and then try and get some rehab starts, and that's going to be hard because Norfolk season ends the 22nd, the Sunday after next. So it's going to be hard to get these guys, you know, back on the roster without real reps in minor league games.
Rich, you like the way that Soto's trending?
Everybody likes how Gregory Soto's trending. I guess Brandon Hyde has become a believer. You know, the first couple of times, you know, it was the first and third appearance that he gave up four runs, and then since then he's been much better. And they need another guy in the bullpen to go in those high leverage spots. It seems, you know, lots of times he's been in games when they've been behind, but maybe that'll. Maybe that'll change. I mean, it seems to be the same guys, you know, Cionel Perez, Yennier Cano, and Sir Anthony Dominguez when they're ahead. But, you know, if they get ahead in a couple of games in a row and they need bullpen guys, then maybe Hyde will, you know, start using Gregory Soto a little more in those higher leverage situations.
You think Dominguez is going to be the closer from here on out through the playoffs too?
Yeah. Yes, I do. Dominguez has done well. He had those two games against the Mets where he gave up the game-ending home runs, but since then he's been pretty good. You know, he's no Felix Bautista. You know, if they had had Felix Bautista, I think that, you know, they would have been way ahead in this thing. But they don't have Felix Bautista, and I think that he's the best of what they have in the closing role, and I think that's where you're going to see him as.
Rich Dubrow, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Orioles Red Sox, 7:10 tonight. Dean Kramer against Nick Pivetta. Battle of right-handers there. Rich, last thing for you. As you know, Orioles MVP, you get to pick three. I had it for 15 years. They took it away from me, Rich. I don't get to vote for Orioles MVP anymore, but we know who the three, you know, leading candidates would be. Would you be inclined, however, depending on how the last couple of weeks go, to maybe give Albert Suarez a little consideration here?
You know, I might. You know, it's I have till next Tuesday. He sure pitched well. He sure pitched well yesterday. And you know, one of the people that people have been talking about, Anthony Santander, has not had a really good past few weeks. I mean, he did have his 40th home run on Monday night, but I think Suarez has been sort of the biggest surprise, the nice story to the team. And, you know, after the game last night, he just seemed so cool, you know, like nothing fazes him. I guess when you have to go to Japan and Korea to keep your career alive, then Fenway Park isn't going to faze you.
Rich Dubrow, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Rich, as always, appreciate the time. Let's get that series win. Then off to Detroit. Let's not underestimate the Tigers. Only three games out of that last wild card themselves. Rich, enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday.
Well, I'll be spending it in the lovely state of Massachusetts, so I certainly will.
Rich, appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
Thanks, Rich.
Okay, thank you, guys.
There's Rich Dubroff. Long before he's ready to go on vacation, since we keep the Belinda Carlisle thing he's going on there. We'll come back. Ravens film study. Defensively, 27 points allowed against Kansas City. Why? Where was the pass rush? How was the run defense? What happened on the communication issues? You're going to hear that and more. Going through NFL lunch, Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Look at week two NFL season. Look like the Dolphins might have running back problems heading into the matchup with the Bills.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's Film Room on 105.7 The Fan.
Back to the film breakdown. Vinny talked about the Ravens offense putting up 20. Could have been more against Kansas City last Thursday night. Defense gave up 27 to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. How did that happen? Let's find out. Film breakdown.
All right, let's start with the defensive line. We'll start with Broderick Washington. I thought Broderick, because last year he kind of struggled a little bit. You know, he got paid a little bit, and then he struggled a little bit. I thought he showed some quickness, and his hands were quicker. And I thought overall, I didn't think he played bad at all. Travis Jones started. Travis Jones, he's showing some quickness now in the pass. I think, Bob, the five sacks that we were thinking about, I think he may have a chance to do that, because he's a good bull rusher, but he's really a good, when he wants to be, when he plays his fundamentals correctly against a run, he's outstanding, because he keeps his shoulders squares. He can find the football. He can punch. He can lock out. I like Travis Jones and Michael Pierce. I mean, fire hydrant Michael, he can still get off blocks. And for a dude that looks like that, he can run.
Yeah.
He can run.
Nimble guy.
Yes, he is. Now, Matabike, they move Matabike around. They'll put Matabike on the outside, and he looks like early in the year, kind of like how he looked at the end of the year. He seems very confident as a pass rusher now. He's got spin move. He's got a much bigger repertoire now, and he's good against the run. He just looks much more fluid. And he's going to cause a lot of people a lot of problems, and it may start this week, because the Raiders' offensive line, I don't think, is great. Now, all right, let's look at the pass rushers. Now, Van Noy is going to be out for a little bit with the orbital. Eye socket.
Eye area.
And he's bitching and complaining about the Kansas City doctors and stuff, because they made him sit in the locker room for a quarter.
They tomahawk chopped him there.
But let me just say this. He had some quality rushes. I mean, Mahomes gets rid of the ball so quick, but their tackles aren't very good. And he beat their tackles. He had some really nice moves. He's going to get some sacks whenever he gets back. Now, Oweh does a good job against the run, and the thing with Oweh is he's just not consistent with his pass. You know, he flashes all the time. He flashes. He does look more fluid this year than he did last. And he'll flash with those pass rush moves because he's got the speed to get around. And then he'll do his spin move back inside. So, it just, you know what's weird, Bob, is like last year or whatever, Ajabo comes in one game, you know, and he gets a sack. All, you know, and then like this game, the first game, Ajabo, he gets a sack and always out there all the time, and he can't finish. The one time Mahomes, if he tackles Mahomes in the backfield, then instead of him hitting Kelsey down the side after the scramble, now let's talk about Ajabo. Ajabo is kind of weird, you know, and I really like him when he rushes from the right side. He had a real nice sack from the right side. He's got a really good takeoff from the right side, and he bends really well from the right side. And he could have had another sack, too. I thought he showed really good pressure from the right side. And he does a pretty decent job on the run stuff, too. Now, on the left side, I didn't think he rushed as well. Like his spin, so that must mean that maybe his right leg is the one that had the surgery and stuff, because he doesn't seem like he pushes off it as much. And when he comes from the left side, doesn't seem like he's as confident or whatever. But he still plays the run well. But he got much better pressure on the right side, which was a rookie. And Juwan Taylor was the right side, but he's not much better. So I'll be anxious to see that this week. And who else we got? Rushing the passer. 90, Tavius Robinson. Tavius plays the run well. You know, he's just going to try to bull rush you. He's not a natural pass rusher. They're not going to get anything from him, and they're not going to get anything rushing the passer from Malik Harrison. So with Van Noy out, Bob, all they got is Ajabo, and all they got is Oweh. Unless Idisa Isaac is back this week, which would be big for them, because, like we said, Van Noy's going to be down. Now, inside linebackers, Roquan, I mean, we talked about it earlier, and you mentioned it when, like, on Monday. Roquan looked heavier. He did. And I think he did, too. And, you know, that when they started the game out and he was trying to cover Rice, that didn't work. I mean, he was getting toasted. And then he got the penalty, too, trying to play catch-up and got the horse collar tackle. But he didn't I didn't think he played well. Taking on, it was his first game, and he hadn't played a game since the Kansas City game last year. He just looked rusty to me. He didn't look like his natural Roquan.
Looked frustrated, too. Seemed like a frustrated ball player out there.
Yeah, maybe because he wasn't making. He made a couple really nice plays, and he tries to hurt you when he hits you.
Oh, no doubt.
Now, the thing with Malik Harrison on the inside, I think that's a waste, unless he's moving forward. And I've said this however many years he's been here.
Since they drafted him.
Yes, I've said the same thing. He's good going forward. Laterally or back? No. In space? No. And what showed up Thursday night? In space. He can't tackle in space, and he still can't. And then when he lines up at the inside linebacker, if they're having him drop in coverage or do any of that stuff, it's not good. Whereas Simpson, let me talk about Simpson. I thought Simpson played outstanding. He's natural. Whatever his first game was, this first game here, compared to whatever Patrick Queen did, this kid's more natural, faster, played great in the pass defense. I think Simpson, I wish they would have played him more. Like they did in the preseason, they played him every snap.
Yeah.
Here they're putting Malik Harrison in there. Why?
Yeah, he's out there against the Packers, but they did. Zach Gore adjusted, got Roquan off the back, and got Simpson in there and made a play on like the first attempt towards him.
Yeah, but then who'd they put on him another time? Malik!
So, when we come back, NFL Lunch, feed you some football. But we're going to get back to the defense because the secondary had communication problems. How did Nate Wiggins look? We'll get into all of that and more. Ryan Wilson looks ahead to week two of the NFL season, which starts tomorrow. Buffalo at Miami. Dolphins have running back issues, it looks like. So stay tuned for that. And then the American League East report. Orioles move to within a half a game of the Yankees because they win, Yankees lose. And we'll tell you all of that good. good stuff and more here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Vinny, Haney, Nolan on the Fan.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.